Fugitive. A QM production. Starring David Janssen as Dr. Richard Kimball, an innocent victim of blind justice, falsely convicted for the murder of his wife.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. Another edition of Talking Fugitive with Kitty and Bobby and Ken, and me, sort of. If you would like to be on the program tonight, the phone number is usual, 800-407-KSAV, or you can attempt to email. My email isn't working here at the moment, kind of hit and miss, but the email address is talk@ksav.org. That's during the program. Any other time, if you would like to reach the hosts, the moderators, the best-selling authors that host the program, can do it at fugitive@ksav.org. All right, we are tonight at Part 2, Acts 3, 4, and Epilogue of Landscape with Running Figures. And to take off with the discussion, here is Bobby Neer. Bob?
Thank you very much. Before we get started, I'd like to remind everybody that our book, The Fugitive Views and Reviews, criticism, critiques, and commentary about season one of the series is currently on sale and can be bought at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And also, if you go to Ed Robertson's website, Television Chronicles, and go to the section TV on the bookshelf, scroll about halfway down the page, we'll find a review of our book from Ed Robertson, a very favorable review, and we appreciate that very much.
Yeah, don't go to Ed's website. His is edrobertson.com.
Oh, that's right. This is Bill Groves.
Right. www.televisionchronicles.com, all one word.
Right. Is this strictly Bill Groves, or did they run it together?
I think together, but I don't want him to go to Ed's website looking
right,
for it.
All right. Tonight's program is the fourth and the last program on Landscape with Running Figures, as you've already said. And this really, the final scenes are the culmination of everything that has come before. Marie Gerard having run away from her husband and now being stuck, in a way, with Richard Kimball, although she does not know it. And these, to me, as far as I'm concerned, these final scenes are what it's all about. It's the best part of the entire episode. On our last program, we pretty much dispatched the looters that were in the story and decided that they were not necessary. And so they are out of the picture by the time we get here. And all that's left now is to see what is going to happen here, whether Marie is going to ever realize that she's actually with Richard Kimball, and what she will do about it if indeed she does realize it. Personally, I love the way this is written. It's very inventive, in my opinion. Both Marie and Kimball are in a bar, an abandoned bar, and they're sitting there having a very calm, quiet discussion. And it appears that Kimball wants to keep her mind off the fact that she's injured, so he simply lets her go on. They have a discussion that, after a while, gets very dangerous for Richard Kimball, and that is getting too personal. She begins to talk about her marriage, and she begins to ask him about his. Of course, she has no idea who she's speaking to. And after a while, things do get too personal, and they start talking about where they came from, and they start talking about a small town that they came from that had 1.5 newspapers, that had a movie marquee that rarely got changed, and they start talking about life in a small town. After a while, Marie is able to put 2 and 2 together, and she suddenly realizes that her worst nightmare has come true. She's actually with Richard Kimball. As I said, I like this scene. It's very suspenseful, and it's very, very slow to develop. And as it goes along, you have to wonder exactly what is going to happen. Not everybody feels that way, that this is the best way to have gone. And one of the people who feels that way happens to be Ken, who posted on our message board several weeks ago when we were reviewing this episode that he wondered if it might not have been better if Marie had actually regained her sight during this conversation, little by little, until he actually came into focus. I have to say, though, while I would not personally change the way it was written, I'm very intrigued by this idea. I think it might have been a very interesting scene, especially visually, if we could have seen it from her perspective. In other words, maybe the camera shot of Kimball sitting across the table, and he slowly comes into focus until eventually she actually sees him. Ken had posted on our message board, and he asked people what they thought she would have done if that had happened that way. Would she have run away? Would she have started screaming? Would she have set a trap for him? What would have been done? I had no answer for that, and nobody else had an answer for that, so that question just sat there. But since Ken is here tonight, I'll simply ask Ken. Ken, do you really like this ending of yours better, and what indeed do you think would have happened had she regained her sight during that conversation?
Thanks, Bob. Everything you say, this restaurant scene, or, you know, they're talking to each other very slowly, asking questions about the marriage, I thought was very well done. I agree. As a fan, though, I was waiting and waiting and waiting for that moment when she would actually see Richard Kimball. I didn't like the fact that she was blind all the way through the episode. I was just hoping. You know, I mentioned before on the bus, I was hoping for that one little glance over her shoulder, and she sees him, and then there's the bus crash, and they still are together. But in the restaurant scene when they were talking, I was hoping, come on. You know, I was hoping for the meat and potatoes, you know, steak and potatoes. I was hoping for that classic moment. And instead, I just got like bacon and eggs. You know what I mean? It never happened. And then she realized, you asked the question, if she did see Kimball, what would she have done? I think she was a very smart woman right there. She would have kept it a secret. And she would have devised a plan to keep Kimball there, not letting him know that she can see him now. And then Kimball is still in a daze, not knowing that Marie has regained her sight. But eventually, you know, Kimball's smart enough, and he finds out that Marie has her sight, and then they have a big classic ending, and then Gerard comes to town. That's where I thought the episode was going to go, but it never did pan out. So that's my disappointment on the message board. What do you think, Kitty?
Well, I think that certainly would have been interesting. Although I don't have a problem with her not regaining the sight, I think it was rather an intriguing concept that here she was, a blind woman trying to figure out a way to keep Kimball there. Although it is interesting that here it is, you have Kimball who's been convicted of killing his wife, and she doesn't seem to be the least bit scared that he might do some kind of injury to her. If he figures out that she knows that she knows who he is. I really didn't care for the ending where she just decided to start running after him and then he came back. You know, I still can't for the life of me figure out why he came back. I mean, other than the fact he took pity on her because she looked so pathetic, but. You know, here it is, there's sirens in the background, and he still walks back to her. It's like, why? I mean, she's of no threat to him. He's, you know, the sirens are coming. She's not gonna be in any danger. They're going to come and take her off in a stretcher. Any normal, sane person would just turn around and run for their lives in the darkness. What do you think, Bob?
As I said, it's an intriguing idea to do it that way, but I have several problems with it. You know me, I'm going to find a problem with everything. And the problem I have with this is that, first of all, it presupposes that a woman like Marie Kimball could actually keep from a doctor the fact that she regained her sight. That's going to take some doing. You know, she's sitting there and she's really lost her sight, so she can't see. Now, all of a sudden, you get your sight back, but you have to pretend you don't have it. Easy for an actress, perhaps, not so easy for an average person. Kimball may be too smart for that. I don't know that she can keep that up.
I don't know, Bob. Kimball does not always seem very smart, particularly in this episode,
I know that.
When he went to go ask the thugs for help.
All right, but okay, so even if you get beyond that and you say, okay, she could have pulled it off, the problem I have is that she's got no options. This doesn't do anything for her. Ken says, well, she's going to devise a way to keep him there. And exactly how is she going to do that? She has no weapons. She doesn't have a gun. She has nothing. It's not like she can pull out a gun and say, I know who you are. You're not going anywhere. You're going to stay right here with me until my husband gets here. So All Kimball has to do is say, well, very good, I'm out of here, and walk away, which is what he does. So it doesn't help her any. It doesn't do anything for her. She can pretend that she's still blind. She can think about it all she wants to, but I'll be damned if I know exactly what it is she's going to do that's going to care. Even if she gets on the phone when he's not there and says to Gerard, you're not going to believe this, but he's here with me, and he comes faster than he's already coming, I just don't think that's going to work. So that's the problem I have with it. I like the visual idea here. I like the idea that she's sitting across from him, and very slowly she gets to see him. That would have been fascinating to watch. I agree with that. Also, we like to change in our group everything. We like to come up with alternate endings. But in this case, if you do that, you've now wiped out the entire end of the story. I know that you don't particularly like it, but I do. I like that section where Marie is crawling on the ground, telling him he's got to stay, and she says to him, it started with you, it'll end with you.
I don't really have a problem with her doing that. I have a problem with Kimball just kind of, you know, walking back to her. I mean, any normal person would have said, screw you, lady, I'm out of here, and just run off into the darkness.
Okay, I agree with that. I agree that it is a little illogical in this scene for him to comes back and he says to her, don't do this stuff, as he's picking her up off the ground. But that's Kimball. You know, it's long established that he can't leave well enough alone ever. That he's always going to come back. He's always going to stick his nose back in. The logical thing is, walk away. Get out of there. Get out now. Don't wait, because you don't know what's going to happen next. But he doesn't do that. He couldn't walk away from the bus crash. He's not going to walk away from her. And especially because she's still blind. Richard Kimball's going to leave a blind woman in the middle of the street? I don't see it. So that's the only problem I have with that. But if you go Ken's way and you change it and you set up a whole new ending, I don't know what it would have been, but it might have been even better. I think that writer Anthony Wilson had a lot of ways he could have gone here. There are a lot of options here. He chose this one for whatever reason, but there are a lot of things that could have been done. But I really, really do like this ending, the suspense that begins in the bar and then runs all the way through. And the phone, remember, there's a phone call, and Gerard is asking about her, and that's the moment when Kimball realizes that it's Marie Gerard, and he says to her, you do anything to keep me here, and then she admits that she would. All of this is fantastically done. I mean, what I admire about this scene, some people might say, even I might say, that it's a little off the wall, this idea that she's crawling along the ground, things like that, maybe taking it a step too far, but I admire the nerve it took to do that, to write that, and to actually put it out there, because it is so bizarre that, you know, I think I even said in my review that it's almost like The Fugitive has turned into The Twilight Zone. This is a very strange scene that seems inconceivable, but it's what happens in the bar, of course, sets up everything that comes along. But I like these alternative endings that we often do in the group, and I think Ken's idea is good. Now, we'll go back for a minute to the bus crash, when Ken says, well, I would have liked her to look around for a minute and see he's in the back of the bus. Well, again, that's an intriguing idea, but I'm not sure exactly where it goes. Changes the entire story. I mean, it wipes out everything that happens from then to the end, because everything changes. Maybe it would have been for the better, of course, we'll never really know that, but all of those are excellent ideas. I just don't know what Marie would have done to actually keep Richard Kimball there. And maybe when Anthony Wilson wrote the story, he thought to himself, well, you know, I'll give her sight back in time before Kimball gets away, and then what? Would she run down the street after him, screaming, demanding that he stay back? You know, actually, Kimball's not in really any really great danger in this scene, strangely enough, because nobody's there yet. The cops aren't there. Gerard isn't there. And he can choose just to walk away, which is basically what he does.
All right, well, we're going to walk away here and take a timeout. I think that maybe Marie should have went and got those thugs and brought them back and gotten help from them.
Oh,
then
please, we don't want them back.
Then no. All right, we'll take a quick timeout, and then we'll all be back to talk a little more Fugitive here on Retro Radio.
Hear the music you love from the past. All the memories you cherish will last. Listen and you'll agree, it's the place you wanna be. It's KSAV. Never far away, at work or at play. Hear the sounds that you love every day. We play the sounds of today and yesterday. So stay with KSAV. Whether on the go or in your home, you'll hear songs of yesterday. KSAV, we'll be with you to warm the day in every way. So share the music of KSAV. Listen to us, we know you'll agree. It's the place you want to be for songs that fill the day. It's KSAV.
All right, and I forgot I didn't have any bump music on this here. So we are back all of a sudden talking Fugitive on Share a Vision Radio. In 2 weeks, what are we going to be talking? Home is the Hunted, Part 1.
That's right. Richard Kimball's going back home, back to Stafford, to see his family.
All right, and that will be in 2 weeks. Tonight we're finishing up on Part 2, Acts 3, 4, an epilogue of Landscape with Running Figures. So, Bobby, you take it away again.
Okay. As we reach the actual end of this episode, something very interesting happens, and it doesn't really happen in Part 4, which we normally see in this series, but actually, usually the epilogue is just shows Richard Kimball back on the road, hitching a ride, getting out of town, whatever, but this is a very unusual epilogue, and it's very important, and it runs rather a long time when you consider what it normally is. And that is that Marie and Phil Gerard are reunited in the hospital. She's been taken there, which apparently to me, she looks like she has regained her sight. I'm never sure about that, but I think she has. And he's in there. He's hovering over her bed. He's talking to her, and I find this scene most unusual because it is a different side of Gerard that we have never seen before. We're used to seeing him being very tough, never give anybody anything, never really show any emotion. In this case, he is back with his wife. He takes her hand. She touches his face. And it's a very nice scene to me and a very surprising one. But there is something disturbing about it, and that is the fact that he tells her, he obviously realizes how upset she has been over the fact that he abandoned her once again to go chase Kimball. But he also makes it clear to her not only that he loves her and he was terribly worried about her, but that the next time it happens, he's going to go run off again. And you can see in Marie's face as she lays there in bed that this is absolutely devastating news. This is the last thing in the world she needed to hear. However, in spite of that, I was really impressed with this scene. I'm especially impressed with the work of Barry Morse because he takes this character that has been around for now 2.5 seasons practically, and he turns him totally around. He shows a side of him that we've never seen before. This is great work. I mean, Barry Morse, I think, is the best Gerard of them all, and he does a magnificent job here, a very convincing job. Because up until now, we're really not sure how he feels about Marie. Is marriage really important to him? Does he really love her? Is there something broken between them? But during these few minutes in the hospital, you get to really feel that he really does care. And so I didn't have any problem with that. I was very touched by that scene. It seemed to me to be the perfect ending. And I figured that everybody would feel that way. It doesn't mean we're going to love Gerard or anything, but at least we get to see another side of him. Well, imagine my shock and surprise when one day on the message board, somebody named Kitty, I can't imagine who that would be, writes on there that she didn't like this scene at all, and that she advises incredibly that Marie, after Phil does all this, takes her hand, kisses her, does all of this, and reads him the riot act, tells him that she's had it, that and she virtually, well, first of all, she slaps his face, which is almost unbelievable, and then kicks him out of the hospital room, tells him not to come back until he gets over his Kimball obsession, and that if he's coming back home to her, she isn't even going to be there, leaving open the possibilities that she's going to file for divorce. This is shocking to me, not only as a scene, but that Kitty would even suggest it. Kitty, I've known you for years, and you're a total sweetheart. You're the nicest woman I ever met in my life. There is no way in the world I can picture you doing this. Why do you advise Marie Gerard to do this?
Well, it's simple, because Phil, you know, I will agree with you. Barry Morse is a very good actor. I mean, I have no problems with his acting in this scene. It's what he says, it's very touching. The problem is that I don't buy it. I mean, good old Gerard here went through this long saccharine speech about how she and the kids were so important to him, and that they are the one thing that Kimball cannot touch. Hello, Phil. Kimball touches the family every time you walk out of the house to go on a wild goose chase. Let's see, have we forgotten about the time where you put your son in the situation where he ended up in the car with Kimball for 24 hours? And this latest thing where she ended up being Kimball's buddy in a deserted town for several hours. And after all of this, he's not the least bit sorry. He cannot say, you know what, honey, you're right, I've lost my perspective. You know, you're right, the family is what's important. I mean, leave Kimball to the FBI. I mean, that's what he should be saying. No, he's got an ego the size of, you know, an enormous ego, to say the least, and he's got to go satisfy this Kimball thing. And he made it, you know, and especially his parting words where he said if he gets a tip on Kimball again, he's going to walk out and do the exact same thing. He hasn't learned anything. You know, so why should she take him back? I mean, to me, any sane person would throw him out of the house. And, you know, I know that Melissa on the board said that people didn't get divorced back then. Well, yes, people did. I mean, it didn't happen as often to the degree that it does now, but it did. I have relatives who got divorced before 1970. It did occur. And I would think that Marie would have no problems facing any kind of social stigma. You know, Phil's the one who's going to end up looking like the bad person in this whole scenario. The fact that he has neglected his family, all she has to do is tell the whole story about how their son ended up in the car with Richard Kimball for 24 hours. I mean, the divorce court will throw the book at Phil. So no, I have no great sympathy for him at this point, and I get angry at this show because there are never any consequences to Gerard.
Even that slap in the face, you don't even want to take that back?
No. Okay. I mean, he deserves to be hit, you know. It's like reality check, Phil.
All right,
yeah.
Ken, what do you think?
I didn't like that line by Gerard also where he says, if it happens again, or if Kimball's around somewhere, I'm going to go looking for him again. I mean, that's the last thing he needs to tell Marie right there. Also, I wanted Marie at that point to say, guess what, Phil? I just spent some time with Richard Kimball. She never said that at the end. So again, as a fan, I'm just kind of left hanging in the epilogue. Right at the end of the episode, we just have Marie looking off to the side, and then there's kind of a fade, and then we see Kimball walking away again. And we never see Marie Gerard again.
Yeah, I say she was looking off into space because the amnesia was starting to set in, because that's what the show is based on, the amnesia factor from one episode to the other.
Yeah,
all right, well, I'm going to say pretty much the same thing I said in the first part of the show, and that is that Marie is the big loser here. I mean, of all the people in this episode, it is Marie who loses everything. I mean, the writer really leaves Marie nothing, just like she had nothing to go by when she was in the bar talking to Richard Kimball. Now she's in the hospital, and the two of you want to take everything away from her. She will have nothing. What is she going to gain?
I say she's going to gain something. She's going to throw.
Know that.
She's going to throw Phil out of the house, and you know, and maybe
but
that
they
will
have, but
th- maybe
okay.
that will bring Phil to his senses.
But they, I don't think that. Okay, all right. I'll give you this. She throws him out of the room, and do you really want to do this to Richard Kimball? Think for a minute. Gerard is already obsessed, chasing him all over the country. How angry is he going to be, and how determined will he be to get Richard Kimball if his marriage is now broken, if his wife throws him out of the room? what is he going to do? Go out in the hallway and think to himself, you know what, maybe she's right. Maybe I shouldn't do this. I don't buy that. I think he's going to be more angry than ever. He's going to go after Kimball with a vengeance. Now he's going to blame Kimball, not only for murdering his wife, for wrecking his own marriage as well.
Well, at least Gerard will have some other motivation other than his huge ego.
Yeah. Okay, but everybody loses here. I don't see any winners in this if you do that.
Well, you're right, because Maria's already lost. I mean, by throwing Phil out, I'd say she gains some self-respect.
Okay.
Let me ask the question, guys. I've got to ask this question at the end. Does Marie now think that Richard Kimball, since he was such a nice guy, you know, in the truck and in the restaurant and helped her out, does Marie now think that Richard Kimball is innocent?
I don't think she cares.
I don't think
she cares one way or the other. I mean, as I put in my comments, I had her saying to Phil, it's like, I don't care if he's innocent or guilty. I just want out of this relentless nightmare that you want to be the star of.
Good point.
All right, let me get one thing in here before we run out of time. You may not like the way this scene ends or may not agree with what she does and talk about whether she should have told him about what happened and any of that. But there's something very unusual going on here, and it's easy to overlook. Kitty, you have been on the board several times, especially recently, in which you have said, I'm sick and tired of Gerard. I'm tired of his same old line. The law says he's guilty. I enforce the law. That's why I chase Kimball. He doesn't do that here. For the first and only time in this entire series, he actually stands there and tells Marie, he's stuck in my throat. I can't get him down. I can't get him up. I have to do something about it. That's why. We never hear him say that. He's been hiding that all along. So there's more to it. For the first time ever, we had suspected this all along, but there's more to it than this business about I enforce the law. It's not just chasing Kimball because he's a wonderful police officer and he's dedicated and he wants to bring him in. There's a lot more to it than that. Now, the series never really goes into that, regrettably.
Go back to this. We're never going to find out anything more deep about him.
Well, right, and that's one of the flaws of the series, that they choose not to go more deeply into. They could have done that in season 4. They could have really gone into the characters. But for the first and only time, it kind of indicates that there's more to it than that. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's the fact that he escaped on his watch that's bothering him, whatever it is, and I think that is probably the most meaningful thing in this scene. It could have gone either way. Marie will not be back in the series. We will never find out what happened. But I really feel sorry for Marie. She's the big loser here.
It sounds to me,
because she got nothing out of it.
It sounds to me like, from what you've said, Kimball has spent more time with Gerard's wife and his son than Gerard has.
Well, maybe spent more time with the entire family.
So maybe they could wrap it up by sending Gerard to the gas chamber. Kimball could take over as a lieutenant.
We all agree on that. Yeah, that's
okay.
Fine.
All right.
That's an excellent ending.
Okay. And it looks like we're at the ending, too. So a change of pace in 2 weeks when we go to Home is the Hunted. Coming up next is going to be Getting to Know You with Susan McCrae. At 7 o'clock Pacific time is Perfectly Frank. 7:30, Talking Television with Dave White. And tonight it's going to be episode 2, I guess, of part 1, scene 6 of Gilligan's Island. And so stick around for all of those. You guys, thanks a lot. Good luck with the book and the group. And we'll see you back here in 2 weeks on Retro Radio.